History, 1619. The first representative assembly in America convened in Jamestown in the Virginia colony. And on this date in 1932, the Summer Olympic Games opened in Los Angeles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Yeah, we're a little behind the curve today. It is July 30th. We got one more day in July, or
yes,
yeah, one more day in August. Good grief, time flies.
Then you know what that means. August in Reading, hot. Hot and hotter.
And the fun never stops.
Yeah, I heard a filthy rumor of 115 this week.
I don't think it was a filthy rumor.
I had 114 is what I heard, but maybe they've revised that since then, so who knows.
I mean, once you're on fire, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's the thing. Once it's hot, it's just hot.
Yeah. Once you're in hell, who cares if there's ice water?
Yeah, exactly. You know, not enough ice water to fix that one.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, getting back to Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. I am Mark Kent, and I am your host. We're here in the studio. You can call in at 530-605-4567. I'm with my sister, Linda, who does the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda and Red.
And Red Smith, who's an unfunded seventh circle of non-existent recovery while the mainstream media prostitutes politicians, self-serving bankers, spun the truth and tattered remnants of reform and greatness of We All the Glory.
Whoop.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go, folks.
Oh, boy. So, anyway, we're streaming worldwide. Again, you can go to the chat room, kcnr1460.com, or call in 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. And let's see, Reading Patriots meet every Monday night at 6 p.m., 3276 Pacelli Lane. I will be the guest speaker tomorrow. I got roped into that by Sally. It's like a... It's like I get a note, you're speaking. Oh, okay. Thanks, Sally. And there's no arguing with Sally because it's like you just.
It's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen.
What Sally says, you do.
So she'll speak it Monday.
Anyway.
Not speaking is not an option.
So anyway, that's tomorrow night, and I'll be talking about the Stillwater Project and the grand jury report and all of that stuff and all of that big can of worms. Yay! State of Jefferson meeting is always half an hour prior to that, 5:30, I believe.
Yep. It is.
3276 Pacelli Lane. Good things are going on. Had a great meeting we'll talk about. Run for Liberty, we'll talk about that a little bit today. And then do you have any announcements, Linda?
Well, right now, remember, we got Camp for Life coming up. It's coming up this next weekend out at Whiskey Town at the Neat Camp. And that's where we do the camp for terminally ill children and their family and also the veterans. And it is open to the whole community. I want people to know that, where you can bring your kids out, you know, maybe grandma, grandpa or something, go out, sit by the creek, whatever, do a little fishing out there. We do Stuck the Pond and just get away. Sometimes you just got to get away and enjoy life a little bit. We're all battling stuff, you know, so.
For sure.
Sometimes you got to take that step back and remember what you're fighting for.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be out there from August 6th through the 13th. You don't have to worry about bringing anything. There's food, drinks, all that is all supplied out there with me and several people in the community helping out with the cooking. I mean, we'll always take help. But, just come out and enjoy the time. We'll have horses, dogs. Hopefully we'll have the big helicopter out there for the kids if they can get it down the road, if there's not a bunch of low hanging branches that we're going to be taking anything out.
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah. You know, so
just fire up the rotors and drive through.
Yeah, we could do that, you know? So anyway, come out and see us. So it'll be a great time.
Perfect.
Do we have plenty of low-hanging fruit today?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not difficult in this environment, in this news cycle, because I'll tell you what, you can't make some of this crap up, and people are starting to figure it out, I think, because it's getting ugly, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's pinatas everywhere. Take a swing.
Well, there's some people that are making it up. That's the problem.
There's a lot of pinatas down there in Sacramento, I'll tell you what. That's the new state symbol.
Yeah. Yeah, just give them a whack and bad laws and dirty money falls out.
Blindfold the taxpayers and let them swing.
Spin them around a couple times.
Only it's not full of candy. It's filled with other things that are probably not mentionable on a family show.
Yeah.
Everyone,
gird your loins. Yeah.
Oh,
I do believe we have a caller on the line.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, gang. How are you?
We're doing good.
I wanted to get with you right away and tell you that Friday there was an event at the Red Lion. It was awesome, and I hope Lori calls in and talks to you about it. And it was a doctor speaking on the children for
the vaccines. Yeah.
Yes, and then Dane scaring the bejibbers out of us, followed by a CIA whistleblower, Kevin Shipp. Oh my God, everything that's said, you go online and it's all validated. It's validated through many sites of what Dane says. You know when he says, go look it up. Yes, go look it up. Well, now we can fear itself, because we've been shook. For 5 hours, nobody left. The place was packed. We had people in the overflow. Red Lion gave us a TV for the lobby, so that was good. Everybody got to see everything. But nobody left. Even when they got up and had to go to the bathroom, they were running past us in the lobby, trying to get back in there. So they did a fantastic annual show that Dane puts on. And I just want to tell you, yes, we lost our liberty. We are the warm frogs, and we need to step up.
Need to jump out of the pot.
For what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mary, for the update. We appreciate it.
Everybody needs to jump out of the pot. If you don't know the story about boil the frog slowly, that's the old communist way of taking over a country. What happens is you put those sleepy frogs in that warm water, and they get nice and comfortable, and then you turn up the heat just a little bit, you know, and then pretty soon they're getting drowsy, and then you turn it up a little more, and then pretty soon they're starting to fall asleep. And then as soon as they're completely asleep, then you turn it all the way up to high, and you let them boil. Now, the ones that wake up jump out, and the ones that don't, well, their dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Kind of like Venezuela. they wish they had the frog legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yesterday was 100 days since, what do you call that, a civil war? I'm not even sure what you call that mess.
It's called an election through trial by fire.
Yeah. Voting by bullet.
That's right. You got to run the gauntlet to get to the to get to the poll. Whoa, crazy days indeed, isn't it? I wanted to talk a little bit about the run for representation, and I'm not sure where he's at right now. Let's see. I'm on the calendar here.
I think he's headed into Nevada County today.
Scheduled. Today's the 30th. Let me see if I can get this calendar to work. There we go. So he should be in, it says day one, Saturday, July 29th, Sonora, Tuolumne. Say that five times fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you. Say it five times fast.
Spell it five times.
We got a call.
Your pal Calvin Clark.
Oh, Calvin Clark from Nevada County. Yeah, my buddy. Hey, are you on the line there, Calvin?
Yes, I am, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, how's it going today up there in Nevada County? I think there's a new dawn on the horizon, I think.
Well, you know, if we can see through the sky up to the stars sometimes, through the smoke, one year we had, 4 months of smoke over here because all the sacred trees were burning, you know. You were in hell, remember? Oh, that was earlier.
We're still there.
Oh, boy. Have you got a report for us, Calvin?
Well, just a couple things. Yesterday, the state of Jefferson had a meeting with some of our local politicians that had formed this group called the CCR. And for those of you who don't know about that, I don't know if you want me to spend just a minute on that meeting with a summary of what I took from it.
That's not the group with John Fogerty, lead singer, is it?
No, they ripped it off.
Clearwater?
They ripped it off from Creedence.
Well, you know, I don't know why. I thought I was pretty disabled until I woke up to a sense of my awful situation and realize maybe I don't need to get any more vaccines.
Yeah, through the fog of recovery.
Yeah, no wonder the politicians want to take over every organization that's got conservative and patriotic and constitutional values.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've been vaccinated. I think we should do a survey.
You know, you could be right. I mean, if that's the case, then we know how the GOP's been turning into rhinos.
Yeah, Republican in name only.
Yeah, there you have it.
Can I mention a couple of names down here in Nevada County that we find that that's what they are? They have a long history of doing nothing but being occupiers, looking like they're conservatives, but being occupiers of and behind the scenes to overthrow. They overthrew the Tea Party of Nevada County. They occupied a lot of other seats in the Republican movement and tried to pretty much stop the Constitutional Counties Committee and some other committees that I had seen been created down here to help preserve property rights. And they took a neutral stand on Agenda 21, and Fran Friedel is one of them, and the people behind the CCR actually wanted to hijack and overthrow the whole State of Jefferson movement with their charter that gave them the, quote, highest authority end of quote, over all of the counties throughout the state of Jefferson.
That didn't work out. That really didn't work out very well yesterday for him, did it?
Well, it was amazing to in a church where this was hosted to have people who pretty much have done this before, where they lie, they covet, and they bear false witness, and then when they're caught, they say, oh, they didn't understand, or oh, I didn't know I wasn't on that committee, and then the publication is printed and shown, and their names on it, and
yeah, well, it's hard to listen to a speaker who out of the gate the first time he stands up and starts talking lies to you. I mean, that's really what happened. The guy stood up and said, I'm not on the committee of the CCR, but I have something good to say or whatever. And then, you know, Kayla, you know, who was sort of moderating the event, says, well, yeah, but on the website it says you're on the board.
You're the chairman.
You're the chairman. It's like,
right.
It's like, yeah, that's a mistake. That's a misprint. You know what I'm saying? It's a misprint. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't make copies of that. Yeah. You know, and this is why it should be restated and reiterated, that, you know, the folks who are behind the CCR, which is now the council, like a high council of county representatives, that's what they call themselves. Over here in Nevada County, we call them counterfeits, copycats, and Republicans. Hmm. I mean, these guys have reinvented, and keep in mind, our CEO of our county that they tolerated and even endorsed was a guy named Ted Gabler who wrote the book, Reinventing Government, which Al Gore said, and Bill Clinton did too, that was the blueprint for their administration. He was our CEO over here in Berkeley in the foothills, Nevada County.
Wow.
So we had, you know, we have these types of politicians that they want to create a political structure to control any kind of conservative movement, so much so that they create whatever lies that they can create and get people to believe by their wonderful and polite, articulate message of humility and kindness. And yes, they're for the same thing. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told in Nevada County, that the CCR is for the state of Jefferson.
Well, you know, a good example of this on the national scale is the Obamacare repeal that failed by one vote, and that one vote was John McCain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the paragon of Republican conservative viewpoints, right?
Sure he is.
Oh.
When did he start doing that?
Yeah.
Never.
Just trust us. We'll be your leaders.
Right. Yeah. And for for the last 8 years, I've got videotapes of him. Oh, we're going to repeal and replace. This Obamacare is an abomination, blah, 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 blah. And then it comes down to the vote, and he votes the other way and kills the bill by one vote. Even if he hadn't showed up and stayed in the hospital, then Pence would have come in and it would have swung the other way. And so it just goes to show you that's the kind of people you're dealing with, is they have no integrity. They have no principles. You know, they lie. Lies roll off their lips so easily but they have an agenda, and it's all about winning. And the end justifies the means.
The largest expansion of government in the history of the world, and the history of the United States. Well, maybe for sure the history of the United States. The history of the world might have been some great dictators, like you know, great evil dictators.
I was thinking about Mel Brooks.
Oh man. Yeah, it's like, are you drinking the water?
You know, and there has to be a certain sense of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because there are a lot of good, dedicated people,
right,
that have been misled by this too. That, you know, hopefully after yesterday's meeting and a little bit of exposure in light, that people were able to view, hey, this isn't an attack on these people. There's nobody that's going after these people. They're doing it themselves, and this is the truth. And it was exposed in the full light of day, and hopefully some of the good people that are working with the CCRs can now understand what's going on and help to maybe clean their own house a little bit, and let's get everybody together and get this done.
Yeah, we do. Everyone who's been a patriot has always had a few people that were misguided, and there's always been opposition to any movement. You know, when I was in law school, there was a guy at break time. He said to me, I don't like your statements regarding the founding fathers. You think they were inspired? I said, I know they were inspired by what they did. And he said, oh, well, and I said, well, why don't you think they were good people? He says, well, he said his brother had written the thesis on Thomas Jefferson's homosexual lifestyle. What? And I said, well, isn't that interesting? Was your brother there? No. Were you there? No. Well, why would anybody, you know, in history that's done anything good, he's always had, not, you know, opposition. There's always been naysayers. So I said, what am I going to write about you when you're dead? So a lot of times people don't realize that to check their sources, and it's sad that people do go out and they get on a tangent and they go with a whim and they forget that principles should reign in above party popularity and pocketbook, the money from all these paid advertisers.
Well, and you know, the thing is, it's like to stay on the message, to stay on point, to stay on, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You could have been a drunk, you could have been a drug addict, you could have done a lot of things that are bad. But is the message of freedom and liberty then any less as important because of your past? Is the fact that you are not a perfect person and have sinned, does that mean that you shouldn't be free and all the rest of us shouldn't promote that message? That's what's happening here, is we're losing sight of the message. The message is liberty for our children, for our posterity, for us, you know, limited government so that we are free people to prosper and have property rights and grow and have a better a standard of living and a lifestyle. And that's what's made us the greatest country in the history of the world. You know, the fact is that if people have done things wrong, does not in any way denigrate the fact that a free society is the best society as far as prosperity and happiness.
Yeah. You know, if Jesus can forgive somebody, who are you to say anything?
Did we lose you, Calvin?
We're not supposed to be the judge anyway.
No, I'm...
Oh, still there? Okay.
I'm still here, and, you know, but, you know, Robert's Rules of Order and Rules for Radicals are almost being used the same way nowadays in some of these groups, to have the self-righteous bigots dictate who should be the ones who should have unity. And so, you know, while the claim of victimization by groups like the CCR or any group out there saying it's not fair, you end up with people that will listen to them and will hear that claim that it's just not fair. Just for instance, if people were to read this CCR charter and then they get to the end of it, it's overly emphasized that there is the Bill of First Amendment, Bill of Restriction on Government, that they claim that pretty much, well, I can say it. So if I can say it, it means that I have a right to say it, even if it's wrong, but I have a right to say it. So even if they produce this document that says they're the highest authority, if you disagree with it, well, it's not fair because they have the right to say it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I've noticed, Calvin, about all of these things is that the two things that always seem to be at the spear point of these kind of things, like CCR and the RINOs and the Republicans and the Democrats, is money and power and self, you know, power, and this goes along both of them with self-promotion. And it's like, you know, you look at Maxine Waters, and she talks about helping the poor, and we need to do this, and blah, 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 while she's living in another county in a $5 million mansion. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So that's really what I saw with the CCR as well, is that, you know, the first thing they wanted to know about, well, who's got the money? And it's all about somebody's absconding with the money. So, you know, where's the money at? Well, you know, the money is an open book. That's not even the issue. What they want to do is control the money, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why they're trying to set up this group to take over that. And then it's always, and then we talk about sources and the disinformation and the slander.
And let's point out that these people had been involved with the State of Jefferson movement from very early on, and right, did not take this active participation role and have these issues until they discovered that there was money.
Until there was money, that's exactly right. And then we're gonna have to go here pretty quick and get off this and move on, Calvin. But the other thing I want to talk about is the sources of these disinformation and the source of bad mouthing the State of Jefferson movement to discredit them, you know, as being funded by George Soros. Now, we got to go to a break here, and we'll come back if you want to stay on the line, Calvin, and let's talk about that a little bit, because you know, we've found out that there is actually a fox in the hen house, And we want to expose that as a lie as well.
Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
It's our duty.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
What better way to enjoy a Sunday brunch than with great music at View 202? Linda Bott, Bruce Kalin, and Bernie Baker are back on the veranda with all your jazz favorites served up in style. This Sunday from 11:30 to 2, treat yourself, invite family and friends, and savor good music, great food, and the best view in Reading. View 202 on Hempstead Drive. Call 226-8439 to make your reservation.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for this month's Second Tuesday Dining Restaurant.
Wow, so I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, August 8th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously donated a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane reach their goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's going to be 112 Monday, and we're going to have Reading City Mayor Brent Weaver right here on another hot seat. Let's find out from Brent what the city manager is going to do over the next 6 months. What's his 6-month and 12-month plan? What's Reading's plan for the future? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Lift off. Astronaut Bob the Drop.
Dream of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my high-riding hero. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves, and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery from being alone.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, Community Radio for the North State. You're listening to KCNR, 1460.com, and you can call in here at 530-605-4567. And we got the update from Sally.
And the what's his name? Herve something? Herve? I want to say Villachaise. I know that's not it. It's like, it's the run. But no, he's running for freedom. He's running for liberty.
Yep. But he'll be at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Placerville. Is where it will be today.
Very good.
From my understanding.
Leconte, thank you, Sally. I mean,
leave it to Sally. Sally's right on it on everything.
Sally is like a miracle in with blonde hair. So,
we'll leave that one alone.
Okay, never mind. So it's Hervé Leconte, and he will be he'll be running. That one, Bob liked that one.
I'm not sure where you were going.
He's heading for El Dorado County.
Heading for El Dorado County. He will be at the Veterans
Memorial
Hall
in Placerville.
He'll be at the hall in Placerville.
Yep.
And so that's a great thing. I mean, this, you know, all kidding aside, he'll be here in Reading on Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Convention Center. So come out and see the Run for Liberty. This is important. A guy that's going to run 40 miles a day. Okay, how many of us can run 40 miles a day? How many of us can drive 40 miles a day? Okay.
How many of us would, even if we could?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I might make it with knee pads.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to totally leave the knee pad thing alone.
Shut up.
Amazing new technology called the combustion engine.
I think some people already know about that.
Yeah.
I'm just
Red
saying.
Bluff on Friday.
Yes.
So Saturday, Friday, Red Bluff, Saturday, 5 p.m. at the Convention Center. Go out and give this guy, you know, the kudos that he deserves, because this is something, you know. This is like, you know, I mean, it reminds me of something big, and I can't remember what it was, you know. But, I mean, you're thinking about, I mean, what comes to mind is Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running across the country, you know, while Jackson Brown is playing, you know, and everybody's getting excited. And he's got this big following, and at the end of this, we get liberty.
Yeah,
how great is that?
Works for me.
Paul Revere. Yeah, there you go. Mr. Rose. Paul Revere. It's like Paul Revere saying the
Browns are here.
the Browns are here. The Jerrys are coming. The Jerrys are coming.
Run, Forrest, run.
Jerry's kids are here.
That's
Jerry's
right.
kids are here.
Good grief. Yeah, Jerry and the Brown Pants.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. So, do we still have Calvin on the line?
I happen to be listening in, you guys.
Sorry, it's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll. Sorry. Anyway.
Sense of humor, her roof and a rifle. Take a pick.
We do expect Hervé in Nevada County.
Okay.
Tomorrow, which will be the 31st of July, the last day of July this year. Can you believe it? It's already here. And he's going to be arriving somewhere around between 6:30 to 7:30, we're having a rally starting at 5 downtown Grass Valley, right at the Stamp Mill on the corner of South Main and what's called the City Council parking lot there in downtown Grass Valley.
Everybody out there who wants more information on this, I highly suggest you go to soj51.org, and there's the pull-down menus up at the top, you know, resources and about us and events under about us, events and meetings, and you can find out more about the Run for Liberty.
And kudos to the guys that have worked so hard on the new website.
It looks great, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. It's user-friendly. It's absolutely fantastic what they've done with it.
And, you know, don't be afraid to go join the team, sign the declaration, and do a little funding, a little donation at the GoFundMe button. So, you know, this is about the court case that's going forward, that's suing the state of California, Jerry Brown Pants, and who's the other guy? De Leone? Alex Padilla.
Yeah, Alex Padilla.
Alex Padilla.
Javier Becerra. Putz De Leon.
Yeah, all those guys.
All those guys.
I like the way you said that.
What, Putz De Leon?
Yeah.
Putz De Leon, the
wig. Yeah, there was a little...
Yeah.
little hand motion. A little hand motion to go with putt stealing.
He talks with his hands. Yeah. On the can't see
ghost gun fame.
Anyway, we're going to move on, Calvin. If you got something else, let us know right
now. Oh, wait.
Name names.
Well, thank you. I just thought
we did have a question about the names. About the guy. The guy that on the CCR that said he wasn't on the website, but he was? Somebody called in and wanted to know what his name was.
What was the name
of his interesting. His name is Don Conan. He ran for state assembly last year. He's a politician that got bought in and went under the wing of a gal named Fran Friedel. And Don Conan, at this meeting, openly lied to everyone.
Absolutely.
And said he was not on this beginning creation of the CCR. It started out as a committee for county representatives, and now they've updated their charter to be the Council of County Representatives. Of course, remember that their very first line purpose says that they want to be the highest organization.
We need the
in
organ
the state
music,
of Jefferson.
Bob. Yeah.
So the other names that are involved in that group, and we've known them for years and years down here, too, have been just politicians that really want a structure to control any conservative organization. And the other names are, of course, Claudia Taylor. Eddie Garcia was there, who also lied openly to the people and stated his thing that, which the biggest lie with the CCR is that they're for the same thing as the state of Jefferson. And it's just not true. Their paperwork proves it. And when people put parties before principles and they say they're for the state of Jefferson, but they want to receive the money. And if you looked at their cards, they set up a bunch of cards at this meeting yesterday that you're supposed to take and give to businesses. And it says state of Jefferson on one side and on the other. It takes you to the website for the CCR.org. And on their website, you can read their charter that specifically says they're not for anyone in the state of Jefferson except themselves to be the highest authority. So, you know, would you trust them? No. It's another political structure move that these kind of people do, and they've done it in Nevada County, and they should really change their when they're caught, they should at least admit it. I mean, it's just so obvious. But, you know,
They didn't even know that they had a charter, remember? Yeah. I mean, we got a charter? Oh, yeah, which, and then, oh, well, I don't know, I haven't read that. We don't have that one. And then, the revised charter? What's the revised charter? We're a foreign organization who has no leadership, even though it says it does, and has a charter that we've never read because we're not in the leadership because.
It's the same tactics Barack Obama used. I didn't know anything about it until I read
it in the paper.
Like you.
When you're backed up against the wall, as patriots are sometimes, we don't want to go out and create a war or conflict, but when a group comes up and says that they're somehow the elite clique group that has to take over something, you know, we have to defend it. We have to defend the liberty that has been established for over 4 years now. Through the movers and shakers of the State of Jefferson movement and SOJ51.org. These people are dedicated patriots. We would never allow this to be taken over by George Soros or any other people who want to fund their agenda. This is not about a political agenda. This is a principled movement, and there are good people involved in it. And when people like this tag on and become a leech for a while, and then they go out and they want to recreate it and reinvent it, we have to expose them, and that's Fran Friedel and Don Conan and Claudia Taylor and Eddie Garcia and Wade Friedel. These parliamentarians who want to rule with their disinformation and misinformation should really be shamed, or they should come to the table and say, look, I apologize for lying openly at Pastor Dave's church down there. I mean, it was just embarrassing. I would have been incredibly embarrassed.
I think they got smaller and smaller in their chairs as they sat there, and they, you know, but they're just little people with little minds, in my opinion. And, you know, and then, you know, we talk about some of the source of these lies. You know, Paul Preston, I got to say, I was absolutely completely taken by surprise and mad about the fact that he's leaking stuff to Dave Hodges and posting on the radio show saying that George Soros is the one funding the State of Jefferson movement. I mean, and that
you are fake news.
Absolutely fake news. Just absolutely incredibly stupid. And, you know, but it shows you that there's sheep's and wolf's clothes or wolf's and sheep's clothes.
Wolf's and sheep's clothes. Right.
I think the sheep tried to put the wolf's clothes on. But
And Paul Preston attended, and I attended a July 3rd barbecue potluck at the Glad Tidings Church for the Tea Party down there. Larry and Carla Verga also, you know, were kind of endorsing this idea of the CCR, and I don't know where they are right now, but they need to figure out which direction they're going, because, you know, Paul Preston said, what is the path we should be on? What is the path we should be on? Referring to creating a new state. Now, keep in mind, well, let me go back and talk about the new state here in just a second, but people were silent. What's this path we should be on? Because he was promoting the CCR thing. And nobody said anything. So I said, principles. And he said, no. And people just went, what? Principles? Like, don't you have principles? So then what was asked was, and I asked the question to about 100 people, how many of you have read this charter that makes the CCR the highest organization in the State of Jefferson movement? And four hands were raised up. And then Paul Preston said, well, we have to read past the first line after I mentioned that it's the highest authority. And Patriot spoke up and said, no, that's the problem. Don't read past the first line of the purpose that says it's the highest authority. If you get that, you know it's a total scam job. And then, so, you know, a lot of patriots are just a little bit confused when they don't know who was there, when it was said. I'm telling you, I was there. I heard this buffaloing language of let's not worry about principles and let's let this group become the political structure. And Dave Hodges, you know, for him to not even check resources, I mean, this guy should be off the radio if he can't check his resources.
I agree.
This is another fake news avenue.
I agree. Anyway,
I spent a lot of time. Sorry.
That's all right. I think we have another caller on the line.
We do.
Yeah.
We've got Peter. Good morning, Peter. Peter, you with us? Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what do you got for us, Peter?
I can barely hear you. We finally hit the front pages, but look, what I'd like everybody to understand what this is all about. You know, there's about 8 CSAs here, and we are the only CSA district, say, for the last, well, today, even up to today, but we started about 5 years ago. We started getting an accounting of where our money goes. We get time card audits every month, and we just look up and see when there's big expenditures, and we can go to that day and see who's worked on it and what it cost us, and then we'd go to the worksheet to see what it was for. I call that good business. Well, you know, over the years, it's slowly built up with all these charges that, well, forget what I say. Look what the attorney guy says.
I think, hey, Peter. Peter, yeah, we're talking.
There's a lot of charges in there that are very, very borderline embezzlement.
Peter.
Anyway, so that's
Peter.
What this is all about. All the other CSAs don't get these. We are the only ones that ever question where our money is going, and this victimization of us in the water. In these temperatures, is just totally cruel,
Peter.
It's nasty, it's vindictive, and I don't care what they say.
Peter.
I mean, that statement midterm said, well, you know.
Peter, take a breath.
Peter, listen, Peter.
Honey, I mean, that's the most ridiculous bloody thing you've ever
Peter.
Can you hear us, Peter?
Peter, can you hear us?
Hello?
Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Can you hear us?
Barely.
Listen, Peter, we're kind of on another subject, so we didn't want to just have you break in. We're not on that subject. We're on a different subject.
Okay, mate, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get it out there. And
can you come
it's
by?
It's
can,
all about accountability, mate. This is what happens when you question where your money goes.
Peter, can you come to the tea party tomorrow night at 6?
Mate, we've got a meeting at the fire hall here over this water thing. We're going in to meet the supervisor on Tuesday.
What about Monday? Can you come? Hey, Peter, if you're listening, go to the tea party tomorrow night on Monday night at 6 p.m. because we're going to be talking about this subject, and your input would be greatly appreciated.
Listen, mate, we've got our own meeting here at 6:30 ourselves for Tuesday.
Well, this is I'm talking about Monday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's tomorrow night.
Right. Yeah. Can you come tomorrow night to the tea party?
Mate, look. As I say, we got a meeting here at the fire hall over this water thing.
Okay, I thought you said Tuesday.
At 6:30.
I thought you said Tuesday, and tomorrow's Monday.
Well, we're meeting with Modi and them on Tuesday.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
But listen, mate, I'll make sure I get down there the following Monday.
All right, very good. Yeah.
Okay, and thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
No problem. Right. Thanks for calling in, Peter.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
I mean, it's great information he's got there.
Yeah, I didn't want to go too far down that avenue because we were kind of on this other subject, so.
It was Calvin that we lost there.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should just kind of move on here and see what happens. We've got a lot of other stuff to cover. News. We're also going to be having Vince Stevenson coming in here at 11 or there shortly after and talking about the recall effort. So, as usual, we've got more news and so forth that we can cover. But there's a couple things that I'd like to touch on. And with the news, you know, the Obamacare repeal by McCain, the failing of that. And then also, I had another story here about...
That one shouldn't surprise anybody with McCain.
No,
exactly. You know, really?
Yeah, the guy's a traitor as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But here's one. China is using artificial intelligence to predict who is likely to commit a crime and arrest them before they do it.
Okay.
I'm screwed.
I think all conservatives are hung now.
They're really on to me.
This is a story.
And to think the Clintons paid for it.
Probably.
I mean, this is right out of that movie with Tom Cruise, Minority Report, you know, where, you know, the thought police come out and pick you up before it's time to, you know, before you've actually done anything.
Well, yeah.
So
you just look guilty.
Yeah. What is that? Minority Report.
Yeah. 2002. Tom Cruise. Minority Report. Yeah. So maybe we should go to a short break here, Bob, and then we'll come back and regroup and get some news into the top of the hour, and then Vint Stevenson just walked into the studio.
All right. If you want to call in and have a question or a subject you want to talk about, give us a call. This is KCNR 1460 at 530-605-4567.
What IQ was that?
Sorry about that.
Community radio for the North State.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Our media, we got 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and then our guest will be on. I wanted to touch a little bit. We talked about the China thing. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, if I had said that, you're crazy. No, not so much. But I want to talk about this vote. On Breitbart, there's a story of 8,400 double voters in 2016 election that should be prosecuted for a felony. This is on Record Government Accountability Institute. President Peter Schweitzer, also a Breitbart News senior editor-at-large, discussed this report on Tuesday's Breitbart News Daily. The report documents 8,400 cases of double voting in the 2016 election. And that's a felony. You know, if convicted of that, you know, I'm not sure what the jail time is, but it, but you know, over the last couple of months, we've talked about the with President Trump, how he's got this voting integrity project going on, and there's 14 states that have refused to cooperate. You know, now you think about that, California. Okay. Yeah, there's no voting problem. There's no voting fraud, and we'll make sure that you can't prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's absolutely what it is. Katie Grimes is one that has been working extremely hard to point out and prove the voting irregularities and things that went on here in the state of California, all the way back to the primary election when Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton by almost 3 million votes.
Now, the data from this article is from 20 states where they found 8,400 examples where these metrics match the double voting. And this is the floor. The absolute number of double voters is undoubtedly much, much higher. Okay, so what this shows is there's a serious problem. It needs to be investigated, and these people need to be prosecuted because it's a felony. And that's what we need to see.
Well, and
because they're stealing our elections.
That's absolutely true. That's exactly what we're doing. And, you know, when people talk and complain about the things that are going on in our country and in our state, and people go, oh, well, you voted for him. Well,
No, we didn't. Yeah, exactly. And then remember what Stalin said, I don't care who votes, it's who counts the votes. You know? And the real deal is that if Barack Obama comes on national television and tells all the illegal aliens it's okay to vote, you're a citizen of the world. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's not there's not a smidgen of corruption there, is there?
California passed motor voter to expedite illegal alien voting.
Yep.
Yeah, and we don't have a We don't have a corrupt, out of control government and out of control wannabe dictator down there in Sacramento, Jerry Brownpants, who's making illegal treaties with foreign countries.
Yeah, and it's not about any philanthropy or any care for the illegal alien population. They are easily manipulated because they have privileges issued to them by the state, not the rights, and they can manipulate them into voting. It's slavery.
You just got to go watch The Jungle Book one time. Where the snake's up there, trust in me, and his eyes are all spinning, you know. You know, that's what we should call the politicians in Sacramento now, Caw.
Caw Jerry Brown.
Caw Jerry Brown, trust in me. Caw.
Well, they're going to be cutting us off because we're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR 1460.
Townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump is keeping up the pressure on Republican senators to pass the health care bill. He's now threatening to end required payments to insurance companies unless lawmakers repeal and replace Obamacare this year. He tweets out, quote, if a new health care bill is not approved quickly, bailouts for insurance companies and members of Congress will end very soon. Meanwhile, President Trump's new chief of staff starts to work tomorrow.
The president has named Homeland Security Secretary General John Kelly to be White House Chief of Staff, replacing Reince Priebus. He announced the personnel change on Twitter, calling Kelly a great American. Mr. Trump also thanked Priebus, saying they accomplished a lot together. The move comes 1 week after the president hired fellow New Yorker Anthony Scaramucci to run the communications office, which prompted the resignation of Press Secretary Sean Spicer. Greg Clugston, Washington.
An owner of the company providing rides at the Ohio State Fair this month thinks a mechanical failure is what caused Thrill Ride to break apart last week, killing an 18-year-old.
Amusements of America co-owner John Vivona says he's convinced the fireball accident Wednesday was a mechanical failure, not a problem with the ride's operators or inspections. He says state and third-party inspectors examined the ride before the opening day of the Ohio State Fair. An 18-year-old man was killed, 7 people injured, several critically when the swinging and spinning ride broke apart. A coroner says the man died from blunt force trauma. Some rides have since reopened.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Fighters with the Al-Shabaab Muslim extremist group ambushed an African Union convoy in southern Somalia today and killed at least 8 soldiers. The attack came hours after a car bomb in the capital killed at least 5 people, most of them civilians, shattering a month of relative calm in Mogadishu. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is being offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping when you text the word GROW to 246810. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. John Laura.
As a dermatologist, I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrate Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that texts the word GROW to 246810 gets a 90-day risk-free supply with free shipping. Text GROW to 246810. That's GROW to 246810.
Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election, but some Republicans in Congress are intensifying their calls to investigate her and other Obama administration officials. Congressional probes so far have focused on Russia election meddling and possible links to the Trump campaign. Now Republicans say the investigations ought to focus more on Democrats for a change. John Morris, a celebrated American photo editor, brought some of the most iconic photographs of World War II and the Vietnam War to the world's attention, has died. He was 100 years old. Amongst his proudest achievements, Morris edited the historic pictures of the D-Day invasion in Normandy, taken by famed war photographer Robert Capra in 1944 for Life magazine. In addition, as picture editor for the New York Times, he helped grant front-page display to two of the most striking pictures of Vietnam, the Vietnam War by AP photographers in the field. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Chevron and California state regulators have reached a settlement related to a 2012 fire at its Richmond refinery.
Under the settlement, Chevron will be required to spend about $20 million on safety upgrades. Cal OSHA, the state's workplace safety agency, says the agreement requires Chevron to replace all carbon steel piping that transports corrosive liquids with chrome alloy piping, which is better at resisting corrosion. It says Chevron also has to implement procedures to monitor equipment that alerts operators when replacements are needed.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, July the 30th. It's a birthday for some notable people, including former Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig. He's 83 years old today. Movie director Peter Bogdanovich is 78. Former California governor and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger turned 70 years old today. Former Congresswoman Patricia Schroeder is 77. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What better way to enjoy a Sunday brunch than with great music at View 202? Linda Bott, Bruce Kalin, and Bernie Baker are back on the veranda with all your jazz favorites served up in style. This Sunday from 11:30 to 2, treat yourself, invite family and friends, and savor good music, great food, and the best view in Reading. View 202 on Hempstead Drive. Call 226-8439 to make your reservation.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Murders, riots, violence, terrorism, hatred, racism, all result from a failed liberal progressive ideology. When you take pliable minds and instill violent, hate-filled rhetoric into them, you create mentally unstable individuals. Understand, there are evil people in this world who use their religion and beliefs as justification for their violent, evil actions. Your best protection from this corrupt ideology is having a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Fly, she will die.
just sits in the cage.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567, or you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com and get involved in the discourse, because we're forming a new state.
As we were having spirited discourse during the break.
Well, it's true. You know, we must fly, and, I'm more hopeful now than I have been in a long time. You got the State of Jefferson movement. We're going to create another state. You've got across the country, patriots are starting to rise to the occasion, whether it's, getting in, the presidential election, for example. I mean, that was a turnaround of epic proportions, and nobody predicted it on CNN and MSNBC. And maybe the polls aren't true, and maybe there's fake news.
Or maybe they did predict it.
Well, that could be. But I don't know. The way they were crying and sucking their thumbs at about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, there goes another state. Anyway. But we got our local stuff going on here, too. We've got, a recall going, which is starting to get traction by all accounts and all reports. And I think that, I had somebody put an email, a message on my Facebook that it's not fair that these two are being singled out because, there was a couple of a 4-1 vote and another vote where they didn't vote for all the pay raises. And my response was, even if they're innocent a little bit, they're guilty a lot because it's not just those issues. The first thing that comes to mind is putting the public comment and everybody agreeing with that. Nobody standing up and saying, hey, this is wrong that the people get thrown to the back of the bus here and there's no comment until the meeting's over at 11 o'clock at night when everybody, has families and jobs, and unlike some of the people on the council. But we've got Vince Stevenson with us today, and he's heading up. He's one of the leaders of the recall, and maybe he can enlighten us a little bit on those issues as far as, why are these guys being singled out for a reason? Are they just the tip of the spear and we need to keep going? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think somebody asked, is there any women on the council? Why don't you just go after them? I'm pretty sure somebody said that. the fact that they just disqualified poor Julie. I mean, Julie's still on there, and nobody's going after her. I mean, wow, fascinating. But no, it's
you're a misogynist by trade, right?
Yeah, God, I wear my T-shirt normally, but today I left it off. Now I saw, I think it's Michelle Goddard. I think I saw a statement out there from her that, why are you picking on them? And it actually depicted the breakdown of the votes and so on.
Right.
And my follow-up to that was very simple. Here's a situation where, yes, they knew. They've known for 6-7 years. If you go back to older grand jury reports, they were already talking about the fact that we were having budget issues and unfunded pensions and so on. We're playing a significant role, and why aren't we getting in front of these things? And these people continued to just deny or deflect any conversations. I had people who would talk to their manager and say, hey, I'm hearing that we've got issues with CalPERS and, with our pension. And they'd basically be told by their managers, no, don't worry about that. There's always conversation around that. Well, the problem is I'm a financial planner. I've been doing that for years and have many clients who are CalPERS clients. So when I actually ask about, certain scenarios under the CalPERS mechanism, I'm actually trying to care for my clients in this case. And I see some significant things. I've seen it for quite a few years now. And when I started seeing just exactly how deep the city of Reading was, I started being very concerned that some of the people that we live next to, that we call family or friends, these are the people who are going to be hurt most by them ignoring this problem.
Well, I mean, you hit the pensions. I'm looking at a little article here, and it says the global pension nightmare. Global pension underfunding will be $400 trillion by 2050. I mean, if that don't scare the bejeebus out of you, if you're in a pension plan, a 401k, CalPERS or something, I mean, I don't know, $400 trillion doesn't seem like a lot.
How many times? I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up.
We're talking light years at this point.
So. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what 400 trillion. I mean, all we need is another zero. And what's the next one? Quadrillion? What's a quadrillion? I mean, is that like from here to Alpha Centauri and back, dollars stacked into end? I mean,
when you get that big, you just, I guess, ignore it. I guess that's maybe that's how the strategy works. So.
Yeah, you ignore it till you don't.
Yeah.
Or can't.
Maybe that's why California is trying to exit, so they can start their own currency. So
that would be an alternative plan.
Just create currency.
Yeah, and then we could be like Venezuela. Viva! Yeah. Viva la Presidente! You know, viva la brown pants!
How much is that peach? Oh, it's only 100,000 California dollars.
Hey, no problem, man. Yeah. I have several in the back on the black market. Have you got any gold or silver?
I got lead.
There is that, but then that has its own set of problems, doesn't it?
They may even be back down in Venezuela to more basics, like, you got any eggs?
Yeah.
Any bread?
Hey, man.
A goat?
You know, so it's like Cheech and Chong. Hey, man, you got any of this stuff? Only it's like food.
Got any toilet paper?
Water. Yeah,
exactly. Dave's not here, man. But I don't know, you know. But it's crazy, you know, and getting back on track here because it's fun to joke about, but at the same time, it's not really that funny.
No.
Not for a lot of people.
It's gotten to the point now where people slowly are becoming aware. I speak to probably four, maybe five groups a week. And initially, when the conversation starts, people will come out with the rudimentary basic questions about, you know, where do we stand at this point? And now you can actually use our new city manager's own words. I mean, here's a scenario where he has made it very clear in session with the council members and others that we're only months away as a city from deficit spending. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you in your households who spend more money than you have coming in, you know that feeling. The credit cards start building up. Everything starts happening. And, you know, you've got a state that's over $1 trillion in debt all by itself. So if you have this idea that the state somehow is going to bail you out, forget it. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, who actually guarantees the pensions, it's actually saying that they've only got 6 to 8 years left, and then they're going out.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
they have more liabilities than they do have assets at this point.
Their premiums, yeah, a lot of the pensions are in that same scenario. So, I mean, this is going.
And we have a caller on the line.
The big bills
are not
even here yet. The worst of it, this is the front edge of the storm.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
Well, yeah, hold on, Terry.
We're finishing.
I was going to say that, you know, it reminds me of Austin Powers, you know, where he's like, yes, we'll have millions. And it's like, no, you don't understand. It's billions now.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like, no, you don't understand.
Trillions.
It's trillions.
Yeah, it doesn't even get people's attention unless it has a T in front of it.
No, it's like, hey, get out the laser beams. You know? Tara, you're on the line.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
I just want to make an announcement that tomorrow our illustrious mayor, Brent Weaver, is going to be on a Carl Bott show. Now, Carl doesn't say whether it's 7 or 8, but he's on Carl Bott show tomorrow, and I think it would be excellent for people to call in tomorrow and ask Mr. Where we're going from here, and Carl has posed good questions to him. I think we need to keep that up, you know.
Yeah, I did listen to the last time he was on there, Terry, and I think Carl did kind of get getting on him about the real issues and the truth, not softballing it. And, you know, I think Brent Weaver should be held to account, too. In fact, if I was doing the head of this recall, he would have been the first one on the list. So, you know, and I'm not a misogynist, so, you know, I would have gone after everybody, you know. So, I don't discriminate. But I think you're right, Terry. This Brent Weaver's... Go ahead.
Yeah, people need to call in tomorrow. They don't need to dink around with this. They need to call in and ask him the pointed questions. I mean, you know, he has, you know, everything from the shallow campaign promises to holding the people of Reading responsible because his kids have to have a timeout. We still don't have public comment at the beginning, which is an atrocity. And also the situation of him running on a 10-point plan for law enforcement that nothing's ever happened. I mean, all we get is just rhetoric from him. So, you know, point being,
hey,
is,
Terry,
wasn't
there some people in local news sources that attempted to inform the good citizens of Reading about Brent Weaver long before he was even elected?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I know one guy. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go.
All right, thanks, Terry.
I want to make sure that people call in. Thanks.
So, all right, thanks.
So we ended up, you ended up going after Shredder and Three Strikes. Why was that the big choice?
Well, mainly because of voting record, for one, based on what they were actually focused on, anything that they would introduce. That was a big issue. Mainly just leadership. We're trying to keep this just a situation. Imagine yourselves as being CEOs of a company, and your particular manager of a division that you continually focus on is just not getting the job done.
So what do you think, if the recall's successful, you know, then all I've been hearing about is, well, it's going to cost $200,000, you know.
How much is it going to cost the city if we don't get rid of them?
Well, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this, guys. All right, so the first way to look at it is, all right, so they come out with this estimate and they say it's going to cost $200,000. How much of that is fixed expenses? And what I mean by that is we're already paying those
anyway.
People, so a lot of those people that are going to be doing that. So we're paying them regardless. Right. And so they just happen to be on those particular days doing this other stuff for us. So that's a big part of it. The other part is, you know what, if we were not to spend that $200,000, what would it potentially cost us? Well, one of the things to consider is all 11 unions are up for negotiation in the next 8 months. That's long before our next election. So with that in mind, we know that there are significant things that need to occur as far as changes, and we know this because Barry Tippin, if we didn't do our own research, Barry Tippin, our new city manager, has made it very clear. There's a good chance that they're going to have to ask for 3-4 year freezes. How's that going to come across to union leaders how's that going to cut? Just think of the rank and file person who's been watching these managers get these raises for the last 2 years. And now they get ready to get their own raises.
And they get frozen.
And their union leader says, hey, they're asking us to take one for the team. That's probably not going to go over very well. And so it's going to take real people in there that actually have the city's best interest in mind to be able to help people understand that this is our new reality. And that's just the way it goes. But let me put this plug in for those union people out there, those people who are serving our community, who we have made a promise to and have an obligation to pay. We are in a scenario where if we don't fix this now, you guys are in trouble.
Right.
You guys, because quite frankly, all you have to do is get on your little Google and go out there and search and look at other communities and what they're getting. Some of these people are getting 50-60% at most when their pensions go under.
Right.
And so if we don't actually figure out a way to save what you guys have got,
it's almost all going to be gone.
Exactly. Yeah. And create a new reality for the new employees coming in. We've got to change healthcare to where healthcare is a defined contribution plan instead of a defined benefit.
I've been saying this all along. You know, we've heard the defined contribution program is where it needs to be, period.
And that's on the pension side and the healthcare side.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we've got some significant things that have to be discussed, and there is no promise of, you know, a pot of gold at the end of 4 years after the freeze or so on. Because, you know what? This is our new reality.
Pot of gold.
Yeah.
They spent it all.
They took it.
Well, you know, and this, I can't help but get this dig in. I guess I've been hearing this on the local news because they are getting the facts right. Or, no, I guess I didn't hear any of this part.
We ran the numbers. Once we found out what was really going on with CalPERS and we got our hands on some actual facts and figures of what their benefits were looking like, what they were really making in interest, the fact that they were actually losing money, finding out that the actuaries were all devalued and not what they said they were, finding out that they'd actually been liquidating stock portfolio to make pension payments.
Yeah.
Once we got all of that information and got the true and accurate as possible, as accurate as possible numbers, and compared that to what it's going to be for the city of Reading's payroll, the exposure for retired people, people that are already retired, and this was almost a year ago, is 386% of current payroll.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. This is one of those scenarios where as you look at the development of it, as you look at how it's progressed, you can see that absolutely this is unsustainable. Ladies and gentlemen, when you start liquidating your portions of your portfolio in order to make payment, you've gotten to the point where imagine it being like a field full of corn where you start actually selling off the crop itself in order to do what you need to do as the stocks and so on. Your seed, you're not going to have the seed to plant the next.
You're not saving
next
any seeds.
You're done. Yeah. And so it then becomes this slippery slope that you can't get off of. So, I mean, imagine we had a guy who used to do that. They called him Madoff. And he basically used part of his contributions to pay the payments on a monthly basis.
Can you feel the burn?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the real deal is that this is not speculation. I mean, you know, this is math. It's like if you add two and two, you get four every single time. And that's what people don't realize is that if you run the numbers out and you see what's going on, this gets ugly.
Yeah.
And they're not even fixing it. So we tried to tell Francie Sullivan a long time ago, there's a problem with the pensions. Well, we have our own guys and our own actuaries, and they said there's nothing wrong.
But you're just complaining.
Yeah, right. You're just a malcontent. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to take the public comment and put it to the end of the meetings.
We don't need to listen.
We don't want to even hear what you have to say because you are... You know, it's like that commercial with Queen Elizabeth. They drag this girl up before him, and, you know, Queen Elizabeth is, kill her, you know. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Well, and as Vint rightly pointed out, at the end of this terrible stick are real people. We're talking about people that have invested their lives and given it to this city and have worked, and at the end of the day, they're not going to have a pot to piss in. And they're going to be harmed. The citizens of Reading are going to be harmed because they're going to be losing crucial vital services, fire protection, police protection, different things. Everybody
loses.
To lose here.
Everybody loses. We do have a caller.
We do. We've got Billy Bob. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hello, Linda. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ken, great show as usual. Red, always appreciate your expertise and opinion. Hey, all I get to say is that the Reading situation is absolutely a nightmare. So I suggest that we hire a new accounting firm. It's Charles Wonder and Millsap. and they, you know, you could ask them and they don't see a problem.
Yeah, exactly. What's that? Cheat 'em, and
something.
Yeah. Do we cheat 'em and how?
Yeah, Charles Wonder and Millsap, they don't see a problem.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. All right.
So I thought you'd appreciate that joke. I made it up myself. So anyway.
Thanks, Billy. We appreciate the call.
So you didn't pay anything for it.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. That's who I have. I do my taxes. It's Charles Wonder and Millsap. they don't see a problem with my taxes. No. Okay. I'll let you guys go.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Billy Bob.
There is going to be a city council meeting on Tuesday, and I think that there's a response going to be
Wednesday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wednesday. I'm sorry, August 2nd. Wednesday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. Down at City Hall, they're going to give a response to the 2017 grand jury report regarding the unfunded pension liabilities. And so that should be a fairly interesting meeting, I would assume. And a lot of people should be showing up for that.
Now, this is getting back real quickly to the cost. You know, when people are – obviously, the two candidates that are getting recalled, their biggest issue is this $200,000 is going to be spent. Did any of us hear any of them talking negatively about the $50,000 water police that we picked up, even though we couldn't afford in our own budget to go out and fix our own sprinklers when they're watering the streets and watering every day? We didn't hear about the $140,000 that they spent to get rid of Chief Paletti. We didn't hear about the $17,000 a month that they're actually spending on the interim chief when we have two very capable captains that are in place and have the respect of their group. I mean, there's
that's
so
why,
many.
You know,
I know we didn't even mention Stillwater. So
that's,
I mean,
well, we will be talking about that tomorrow at the Tea Party. That's why I have such an animus towards the local media. I mean, getting the facts right. These guys don't report crap. You know, it's just unbelievable. They just skip out over all this important data that doesn't mean anything because, you know, I don't know who's
Who's paying them?
I don't know what's going
on. You mean
on
the USA
there.
Today, or are you talking about the radio?
Well, kind of both. But, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of Channel 7 right now because, you know, this getting the
Record
facts
searchlight.
Right. Huh?
Record searchlight.
The flashlight. What do they do? You know?
You are fake news.
It just gets old after a while. They're supposed to be doing journalism, unbiased reporting of the facts so that you can get a clear perception of what the truth is.
Well, they've already come out against the recall. They did an editorial about how it's negative and you shouldn't go this direction.
Yeah, but, gee, we should just have the council on high putting everybody to the back of the bus while they spend us into oblivion and nothing should happen at all.
But there's no problem.
But think about how wonderful it is if you're a news person and you see this community just basically coming apart at the seams.
Right.
You don't want them to fix it. Why would you do a recall and fix it? We've got all this stuff to report on. Let's just keep this going.
What they want to do is they want to him, you know, Brent and Mike down the Sacramento River Trail and hold hands and have a picnic lunch.
Well, and have a baseball team.
I just got.
Don't forget the baseball team.
They have an agenda, and they purport that agenda repeatedly. An agenda that is satisfactory or holds the citizens in regard.
Exactly.
It is to help maintain the power structure in this town.
Well, let's imagine, though, I mean, at this stage, when you look at what that agenda is or what it could be, it quite frankly is like having an agenda to what's going to happen with the Titanic as it begins to take on water. It's like, guys, there's nothing that you guys could be thinking right now that could be anything.
I have a great idea. I know how to fix it. Let's rearrange all the chairs.
Yeah. Yeah, deck chairs to the left. Because quite frankly, I mean, this is and you get that when you hear the things that they still want to spend money on, like the interim chief. You guys have got catastrophic issues with your budget right now, and you say, oh, let's spend $17,000 more per month to bring this guy in when we've got very capable people that we're already paying.
We're already on the force.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they just haven't embraced the fact yet that this is all – none of the little stuff is not our focus.
Right, because they want somebody who is going to basically be at their beck and call.
Toe the line.
Yeah.
And you
call the strikes.
People need to come to an understanding and face some very harsh realities that are coming on the city level, on the county level, on the state level, on the federal level. There are some very harsh realities coming, and just sticking your fingers in your ear and going la 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 is not going to make it go away. And the sooner that we come to the reality of what is coming and start to prepare for it, because it's unavoidable at this point. It was unavoidable. It was maybe avoidable 7-8 years ago if people had been truthful. But it's here. It's coming, and we need to prepare for it and need to start planning how do we get out of this mess and not get caught flat-footed when it does fully impact us.
Well, you have to imagine the biggest sign or the biggest signal that truly led us to the idea of how serious the issue was the fact that they had an opportunity to pick from the nation people with creative ideas that could come in and change things around and so on, and instead took the person who was second in charge that was here during all the demise, who basically knew all the things that were going on, who actually did the REU or continued the REU pilot program, who I will tell you has already said in his own words that he has every intention of continuing that program, even though they've lost already in court and now we're waiting for the second appeal. So, I mean, here's a scenario where they're probably going to continue that program because, quite frankly, they can't afford not to. You know, taking away $6-7 million out of their budget right now, if you're an REU user and quite frankly, owner of REU, because if you're a citizen of Reading, you are an owner of part of that REU electric company, you should be screaming at the doors because, quite frankly, that is your company, and they're pilfering that company, moving that money over so they can use it
cover
in the general
budget. So they can cover their budget. Yeah.
If they have extra like that every year, they should be dropping your rates. They should be dropping your fees. They should be doing things to help in other ways. And, quite frankly, they're using that money for pensions and other things to keep it going. And that's just the way – you know, it is what it is. So.
What was the first action of this sitting council – When they took office, the second thing they did after they told everybody shut up and get in the back of the room, the second thing they did was remove the Citizen Oversight Committee of REU.
Yep.
Why?
And those people, the people who had actually been in place, who were part of that advisory council, they had actually taken 18 months to get up to speed and to know exactly how everything functions and so on. My thought would be I would like to sit down with that same advisory council, put them in a room with the now council, and say, okay, so now you guys have had 18 months. Tell us what you know about the REU. Because quite frankly, you made it very clear in your statements that you wanted to take control of this and you didn't need an extra group. Well, one of the things that is going to happen, and you're going to see it come out, guys, is we're putting together an initiative that will be on the same ballot as the recall, and it brings back the REU Advisory Council from a citizen's vote. The other thing that's going to be out there is called the COIN Initiative, and that one actually is an open negotiation initiative that would become ordinance, and they would no longer be able to negotiate labor contracts in closed session. They would have to do it in open session moving forward.
Yeah, I was just looking at that part of the resolution.
My question is how much money will City Council spend to fight that in a lawsuit?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I'm looking at the agenda on the August 2nd calendar here for City Council, and you know, 9.51B resolution approving mandatory employee contributions for the public agency retirement service PARS, retirement enhancement plan for unrepresented employees, as well as a closed session conference with labor negotiator. As city is in negotiation with at least seven different bargaining units.
Yes.
Can you translate
Do you guys know what PARS is?
Kinda.
Okay. PARS is a secondary, basically makeup pension that was put in by Warren when he was in. And the day that they signed it, the day that they said, yes, we're going to accept this and we're going to start giving this additional benefit, the city went $37 million in debt. The day they signed it. And you know what?
And it was retroactive.
Retroactive. That's why, because we hadn't been putting money away from it. So in this scenario, we went back and we looked through everything we could find so far, and we did not see any fiscal impact study done on if you sign this, which is required to do anything like this. So nobody basically knew, or they could portray that they didn't, that there would be that big of a negative impact should they do that. So that's an additional payment. And the key word that you put in there is any unrepresented. Who are the unrepresented employees? Those are all the managers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is this is a good old boy deal, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Well, yeah, and so that probably got Warren maybe a good $30 million or $30,000 a year.
Wow.
Yep. So we're right now paying three city managers more. Yeah. Three city managers, more than $200,000 a year. Two of them are retired.
I'm in the wrong business.
Well, how many city employees are making more than $100,000 a year right now?
Yeah, Mark, but at the end you get to keep your soul.
Well, there is that part. I mean, yeah, I kind of like that part. Yeah. You know, that going to heaven thing as opposed to hell has always been a big draw.
Don't try to use that in a grocery store, though. It doesn't work.
Now, the other question I have here is, why two and not three? Because there's five on the council, and if you're trying to get a majority vote, you know, to stem the tide here, or to, you know, why just these two? And I mean, I would have gone after. Can you recall all five?
Yep, can.
Wow, why wouldn't we do that?
But there's issues with that because, like, let's imagine, and I'm not going to let out anything that I'm sure they're smart enough to know. Let's imagine you have a person step down. So let's say one of the candidates being recalled decides to step down. The city council can actually appoint another person. It takes four votes.
Oh,
so they can appoint another person. What happens if you have two people step down? You need four votes to appoint. So then who gets to appoint the two people?
The people would be electing, wouldn't they?
Uh-uh.
No?
Governor.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
So
Brown Pants comes in?
There you go. So you can imagine we'd probably get some pretty strong union representation up here. So I'm sure for anybody listening out there, they're like, oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. We should get Jerry all over this. The other part is you need three votes. You only need three votes.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that whoever put this whole thing together is probably thinking that they already have one vote.
Well, that's why I'm bringing this up. I'm thinking, does somebody know or pretty sure they have one vote? Or the other side, would that scare the bejeebus out of the other people that are still on there that they're next if they don't start paying attention?
Gives a great deal of incentive. And let me ask you this, for everyone out there listening, how much change have you seen in the last 3 weeks just since the recall was announced?
Oh, wow. All of a sudden, we're really concerned with public safety.
Yeah.
And, wow, we're having a meeting about the unfunded pension liability.
67 shopping carts have been gathered. And, I mean, there's been a tremendous amount. It got word out. I actually had somebody come to me and say, the people involved, and I won't go further. I don't want to narrow it down to somebody. But basically, RPD... some people involved were upset that we were actually moving towards getting rid of RPD and having Sheriff take over. And I said, you know what, there is nothing that is on the table and nothing that is off the table when it comes to fixing the problem right now.
Yeah.
Basically, everything is being researched. Have we looked into that? Absolutely. But I can tell you right now, based on the precedents that RPD is setting right at the moment, I would vote to keep them if we can. I mean, the idea is budget speaks first. So if you and I, you know, we always hear this push from the city, we've got to be competitive with our salaries. And if we want to bring in great people, we have to be competitive with other communities.
That is such a canard.
If we had a business, if Red and I had a business and we were saying, all right, we need to bring in a manager because we're sick and tired of doing this every day. We need somebody to run these people and keep things busy. We would basically look at it and say, okay, who would we like? Well, we'd like a Harvard Business School person, and we want somebody that has run a company, the size of a Fortune 50 and, so on. But what can we afford? Well, we can afford maybe somebody from Chico State or Simpson. And you know what? We may just go with somebody who has just good reason and so on.
Right.
That's what we can afford. That's the problem that they need to shift. We need business people who look at it from a business perspective and say, you know what? I would love to have these people.
What's a fair, reasonable salary for a competent person who's going to do a great job?
And then ultimately divide that by what we can afford. Because quite frankly, it really comes down to what can we actually write a check for and not put us...
I totally agree. And this whole canard is we got to compete with all the rest of the people who are getting paid these high salaries. Okay, so let's see. You're a cop down in Watts. Are you going to take a salary cut to get the hell out of there to the greatest part of the state that has recription, unlimited, blah blah blah? Or are you going to hold out for more money?
And I'll go back to this again. I ask this question: how many people make more than $100,000 a year working for the city?
Yes. I'm going to guess that there's probably
95% of them.
Over 200. There's actually quite a few that make far less. There, you've got some $20,000 people in there.
I've looked at the salaries, and I didn't count them.
Well, a while ago, Terry came out and said, we think that we've got the seventh highest paid police force going. Well, then we did some research and said, it looks like it's fifth. So, but it's
we
not,
just gained a couple positions.
But it's not their salaries. It's the actual pensions and the benefits
because that doubles their salaries almost.
Well, speaking of doubling,
with pension spiking at the last year of your contract,
can you say Warren?
And running up, there's 98 different ways you can spike your pension. You can take a 4-hour audio video class that allows you to spike your pension by $13,000. There's all these different
methods.
Are you
kidding me?
They have
a whole strategy behind it.
Yeah, there's an entire strategy, and one of the biggest one is the last year that you're a police officer, you work a tremendous amount of overtime. Up your salary.
Overtime now doesn't, under the new spiking rules, can't be used.
That was one of the things that they were doing.
So these guys went to screw you is what it sounds like instead
of
Harvard.
But it's been an environment of that. And right. So, I mean, there was a number of different groups that were actually playing that role. The thing to think about as you move forward out of this kind of, dilemma is, we look at what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish, and we can actually work with them. It's the pensions that are the big issue and the unfunded portions. When we were having good years, the city leadership decided not to make those contributions. They instead took that money and used it on things like Stillwater. So, I mean, we're now in a scenario where right now we pay for every dollar of salary for a local police officer, we pay 52 cents of benefit. In 2 years, 3 years, that's going to be $1.08 for every dollar. So it's going to be more than double what we're paying right now. We're going to pay $2.3 to $2.4 million more in our general budget for nothing but unfunded pensions going up every year. Yeah. So $2.4 million this year, $4.8 million next year, yada, yada. Well, it goes up for 4 or 5 years.
There's an old saying in finance, when you have a debt you can't pay, you won't. And that's really what it comes down to.
And under the new laws and the new rules that have been set down by bankruptcy court, cities and municipalities can declare bankruptcy specifically to remove themselves from CalPERS, at which point all of the city's debts get paid off through the bankruptcy procedure, and the people that are in the pension are become an unsecured creditor,
right?
And they go to the back of the line for their money.
Well, yeah, so pennies on the dollar.
You're talking about unions now going against big companies like bond sales and mutual fund companies and so on, because they've lent this money, and at some point, like they did in Stockton, they're looking at it and they're saying, hey, why did we get further back and the pensions not get spared? Well, the judge came out and said, you know what, that was up to them. We could have considered it if they had to.
Sure.
San Diego has now, over the last 5 years, has gone to defined contribution plan instead of defined benefit. Well, guess who sued them? The unions came out and said, that's not fair. Well, the first appeals judge came out and said, absolutely, it's fair. You can do that. And so they allowed it to happen. Well, guess what? They didn't take a no for an answer, so now the unions are suing them again, and they want the Ninth Circuit to look at that, and you know how they typically rule. So we're waiting to see what that happens. And so, I mean, some cities are trying to dig their way out, and basically they're coming up with huge headwinds from the state and the unions.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks. Hey, I was just wondering, and before I ask this question, I want to say that I think the police are great here. They do a great job. But it's a coincidence that right now in Eureka there is also an interim police chief. And I'm wondering what the pay scale is for him compared to the interim police chief here. And I know Eureka is a smaller town, but they have the same problems we do. And I was just wondering, I tried looking it up, but I couldn't find anything. Do you guys know what the pay scale difference is? And I'll take my answer off the air.
No clue, guys.
Yeah, I don't have any idea.
Hey, the one thing I will say, though, guys, is when it comes to comparing to other communities, you know what? Do your best to get out of that mechanism. The reason being is, yes, we want great people in place, but we want great people that we can afford. So I keep coming back to that same dilemma, which is your budget determines that decision ultimately. You can interview 10 guys, and if the first 9 that you've ranked are not somebody you can afford, then you know what? That's just wishful thinking. It's like going to a car lot. You might pick out that beautiful Vette or that Maserati over there as your first choice, but quite frankly, if it's just that little Volkswagen that you can afford, guess what you're driving home in? So, right. I mean, the bottom line is at this stage, we need to change the dynamic behind the decision-making that goes on. We have a city manager right now that got hired at $210,000. He's got a six-month clause in his contract that says if we fire him, we owe him $105,000 to get rid of him. On top of that, he gets a $7,000 raise at the end of the year. And guess what? We're a town of a popular city of a population barely 100,000. Do you know that the city manager of Los Angeles makes approximately $68,000 more total? He is 48 times larger the area that he actually covers in the population. 48 times larger.
Well, and where does the city get its money from? Sales tax and it gets its money from, you know, probably a portion of the property tax. I'm assuming. What happens when you've sunk the community? What happens, you know, when the economy sunk so bad? I mean, look at what's going on around town. I mean, this false recovery where every time I go by, there's a new shop that's closed. What's going to happen is your revenue's dropping but at the same time, you're raising everybody's pay.
Well, think about this. If there's any logic out there, think about the idea that you are a city manager, or in this case, maybe a city planning group, and you're handing out business licenses and calculating impact fees. If you look out there and you realize those businesses and those people out there, those taxpayers, pay your benefits, they pay for your family to have a roof over their heads, they pay for your car that you drive home in, so on. They do all that for you, and you're doing nothing but creating headwinds for new businesses and for people to make a living. That's somehow a contradictory. I mean, it's truly, at some point, that's going to reach back and bite you, because as those slow down, which you know what? It's already happening. Mm-hmm. Our population right. is decreasing, not increasing.
Everybody's running out of California as fast as they can get out. I mean, I'm actually looking at property in other states right now because I'm so tired of it. If we don't get the state of Jefferson, I'm gone because I'm sick of this over the top. Out of control, overreaching, you know, government and every aspect of our lives that we can't even raise a family and they won't leave us alone and they just keep raising their salaries up and spending more. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
And wasn't it city council said that they had to pay that kind of money in order to get good people to help with the city?
You see the good people where it got us. I mean, they did a fantastic you know. Job.
Let's go back to the recall issue after the break. Let's take a real quick break here and come back and let's talk about how people can get involved in the recall. Where do they go? Where do they sign up? You know, what can they do to volunteer or whatever they need to do to get this thing
going? If you
want
to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, Carl, let's find a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Okay, what are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
All right, let's go.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Founded in 1990.
That could actually be our new theme song. Good one, Bob. Listen,
that was the Francie campaign song, wasn't it?
yeah. I think it was the Al Gore campaign song, wasn't it? No. sunshine, climate change, and lollipop. No, anyway. They are having recall petitions tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party, 3276 Bocelli Lane, right there at the Eagle's Nest Forum. And so we want people to come down there, you know, 5:30, State of Jefferson, 6 o'clock, Reading Patriots. And, you know, you can also get there and sign the petitions. But give us some information on the recall of what they can do, Vint, to get involved. How can they volunteer? How can they help you in this effort to maybe take back our community?
Well, a lot of different ways. Obviously, signatures are the big thing right at the moment.
How many do you have?
I can't say, but we have a lot.
Okay.
we're way ahead of schedule. I will tell you that. When we first kind of depicted this whole thing and was working with Pam Mize at the city clerk, I kind of portrayed what the schedule would look like and how we would be getting, hitting different groups and locations. And I had no idea that there would be this much excitement leading up to it. I had people basically, screaming and yelling, we got to get going. And I was trying to settle them down and say, no, we need to get our approvals first and so on. Now we're at a stage where, they're every day. So we have a website that's going to be released to the public tomorrow morning.
Oh, very good.
So it will be...
What's the name of the website?
I'd love to give it to you, but okay. All right, I'll give it to you. Shasta County Recall.
ShastaCountyRecall.com.
So it's probably going to get swamped now, and I'll get in trouble. But hey, I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's out there. There'll be a calendar on it, so it actually depicts where we're going to be at any given time. As of sometime tomorrow, it will have a contribution electronic payment connected to it. A number of different things on there. It'll also have a lot of your frequently asked questions out there along with answers.
And we need everybody to not be complacent and think that, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. You need everybody in the city getting out there, supporting this petition, signing it, and getting involved because, you know, this taking it for granted crap is just what got us here in the first place. This complacency, this, oh, somebody else will take care of it. You need to get a good mat on out there, you guys, and get involved in this.
And I think you can help even if you're not in the city, correct, with the recall?
Absolutely. All you have to do, if you want to go out and gather signatures, all you have to be is 18 years of age. So, you do not have to be a citizen of Reading. If for those people who do live in the city limits, if you're not registered, let us know. We'll get you registered. We'll help you do the registration, and then you can sign. So, Angie has a letter going around for people who are county residents. Because, quite frankly, let's be fair, the city of Reading affects us all.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
As a county, they make up about 53% of the
general
population.
So, as a county resident, can sign the petition?
No. No, you could help gather signatures.
Okay, right. That's what I thought.
And we have a letter for you that we're going to then send to the supervisors to let them understand that, you know what, do what's necessary. Or the next time we have this discussion, or the next time I'm on the air, we'll be talking about supervisors. So, I mean, we're at a stage now where it's time to move forward, and it's time to affect change and good change. Tom has been fantastic, Sheriff Pasenko. We went out and visited Crystal Creek, and we've done some other projects trying to figure out where we're at. So, people, if you are either in the county or in the city of Reading, it's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to be a part of the positive change that's going on.
Get involved. It's time.
It's time to get involved.
So we got about a minute left, or less than a minute, and then the music's going to come on. But so we need 10,000 plus signatures in order to get on to the get this thing accomplished. And I think that this is going to be a successful endeavor. And like I say, don't be complacent out there. Get mad and get involved.
Absolutely. This is going to be successful, people. So be on the right side of this. Let's get some other candidates in there that make sense. Let's get some business people. I think you're going to be excited about the people who are going to step up. Hint, hint. And I think it's going to be something that you feel very comfortable with and feel very great about your decision.
Very good.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming in, Vint. We totally appreciate it. Yeah. Absolutely. And, hey, maybe we'll see you out there in the recall line.
Hey, and one last little plug, guys. Sorry. Hey, this you're going to be surprised. If you come out and participate, you're going to be very surprised at the people around you. These are people of all walks of life, all political backgrounds, very apolitical. They just want to see positive change.
I think you should do a commercial with the guys in the horns in the Swiss Alps. Recall! do you remember when our health insurance got cheaper and we were all given free unicorns? Nobody remembers that. I don't either. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principle above parties.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Korea before returning to Guam. Britain's Brexit minister says progress has been made in talks on the rights of citizens living in each other's nations once the country leaves the European Union.
Despite the progress, David Davis says disagreement remains over the role of the European Court of Justice. The EU wants the court to be the final arbiter on many issues after a Brexit agreement, something Britain rejects.